going. Okay, you had been in the service before you signed a professional contract, is that right?
That's correct.
Did you play ball in the service?
Very little. I was in the Navy on a ship. I played a couple of games in Hong Kong, of all places.
Oh, boy.
Played a foreign team of Orientals, Australians, British. It was a League of Nations, and we had a great time doing it.
I bet. Did you play many games, or was this just a one-time shot?
Oh, it was about three games we played there. That was it. Then we were on our way.
Did you see action?
Yes, I played. Yeah.
Okay. I mean in the war.
No, I was. I enlisted at 17, and I was out at 19. And the war was over by the time my ship started heading for China.
Oh boy, well, that's great.
So I had to wait and get my points before I could get out, and I wanted out real bad to start playing baseball.
Had scouts already contacted you before the war?
Yeah, they did. Carl Hubble.
Mm-hmm.
I went for a tryout when I was 16 years old at Bear Mountain, New York.
Mm-hmm.
And it was a very, very tough tryout for me because I had never taken one before. I ended up being sent out to the outfield when I was a shortstop. It was a matter of getting up at bat one or two times for three swings and run to second base. But a scout that was there called me over to the side and was impressed with whatever he saw in me and told me that I would be hearing from them again.
Oh, that's good. And they followed you?
As soon as I got out of the service, I was only home 2 days, and I signed a Dodger contract, and right after I signed that, Carl Hubble called me again, and it was too late. I had signed with Brooklyn.
Okay, how did Brooklyn get the word about you?
I went to a tryout.
Okay.
It was a freak meet. I was buying a glove in a sporting goods store in New York, and when I went up to pay for it, the person that sold me the glove asked me if I was interested in baseball. I told him I wanted to make it my career, and he asked me if I'd like to meet a Dodger scout who just happened to be in the store at the time.
Oh, that's all right.
And I went over and was introduced to him. He invited me out to the tryout camp, and out of about 300 kids, they signed three of us. And I was the only one still to report for the year because it was June when I got out of the service.
Who was the scout?
Arthur Deedy. He was a Brooklyn Dodgers scout. And I had to be passed on by Branch Rickey out at Ebbets Field after the tryout at Erasmus High School. And they looked at me at Ebbets Field, and Branch Rickey was the deciding factor in signing me.
That's a pretty tough audience.
Yeah, you bet. I was... For a kid, it was real tough.
How do you spell Deedy?
D-E-D-E.
Oh, okay, just like it sounds. That's pretty tricky. You're a Brooklyn boy, right?
Correct.
Yeah, so that must have been a dream come true.
It was a boyhood dream. If nothing ever happened to me but to be able to make the Dodgers, I fulfilled a big dream.
Yeah, boy, that's got to be what every kid wants to do. Well, you say you were a shortstop then, but the next year they made you into an outfielder.
Yeah, because I had another great manager at Class B, John Fitzpatrick, and he said I'm never going to the big leagues as a shortstop because he just didn't think it was a working combination. He said, but I hit with power and I could run, and he made an outfielder out of me, and that changed my whole baseball career.
Did you find the change difficult?
I didn't find it at all. In fact, it helped me to no end because one of the outstanding things was I was able to make many more assists because I fielded in the outfield as an infielder. I'd charge balls and be able to scoop them up and throw on the run and things like that. And it was a big asset to me.
You, being a shortstop, you must have had a pretty good arm for the outfield.
I was lucky. I had a pretty good arm.
Yeah, that's good. Well, you progressed through the Dodger system, which was, I guess, with the Yankees, they were the two toughest farm systems, so much competition.
Yep.
And so many boys who would have been regulars in Washington or Philadelphia or Boston were never, dropped by the wayside in the Dodgers and Yankees systems. It must have been a pretty frustrating climb.
It was for me. I made it quick because really, it was like 3 full years. My fourth year, I had a Dodger contract. And the bad thing about it, like you say, they had a lot of outstanding players and they were a right-handed hitting team.
Mm-hmm, they sure were.
So I had a great year the year before I went up to the Dodgers.
So about the year at Mobile in 52?
Right.
Yeah.
But then when I got up there, I was used to playing every day, and I didn't see that up there, and I wasn't the type of a player like some guys. You take a George Shube, a left-handed hitter, I mean, he could get out of bed and hit.
Mm-hmm.
And myself, I was valuable, I thought, as an everyday player in there.
Well, was that not the year they moved Robinson to the outfield, too?
Correct. Oh, you have the knowledge of it all right.
Oh, I try to keep up with it.
That little move right there cost me playing time with the Dodgers. You know, I've got a one-liner in the book there. It's
yeah.
Like a cup of coffee. But I tell you, I had the... I don't feel sad about it one bit because in my own mind, I knew what I could do. And it just happened to be, you have to be in the right place at the right time. If I was in another organization, I would have had playing time.
Certainly.
For them to decide what I could do and what I couldn't do.
Well, you were getting, a chance once a week, maybe twice a week to do something?
Like I was in about 30 games. I went to bat maybe 30-something times. And
I've got it. You actually played outfield in 25 games.
Yeah.
And you had 43 at-bats.
I'd sub out there, and I'd get in for a pinch-running deal or something like that.
It's awfully hard. There's very, very few people who can produce what they're used to in situations like that.
Yeah, I took my heart out. And the year before that, when I think I led the Dodger team in hitting in spring training one year, and Shotton was the manager. And they let me stay on the Dodger team for a full swing of the whole league so I'd get used to being around, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I never batted once. And
oh.
When it came time for cutdown day and they optioned me out, Bert Shotton told me, he says, you probably wondered why we kept you and you never got a chance. He says, you didn't complain. He says, but the reason we couldn't take a chance with you being a hometown boy, getting in, hit a couple of home runs or something, then it'd be tough to get rid of you. And you didn't figure in the plans as a right-handed hitter. We needed a left-handed substitute. That took my heart out.
Got it. Had to. Once you do spend some time there, you don't get the true shot. The next year, you weren't on the team in 54. Where did they send you?
I was actually sold. They optioned me out of the league. They optioned me out. And I went, they sent me back to Mobile.
Uh-huh.
And that was when I just kind of lost my real interest in playing baseball.
It's when they break your heart, it is awful hard to keep it going.
But I can understand it, and I'm not making any excuses because I still had my chance. Suppose the 30-something times I went to bat, I got 10 hits or 15 hits.
Uh-huh.
Could have changed the course of my playing, too. So actually, I didn't produce enough to do it for myself, but everybody gave me the stats of having the ability to do it. I just never did it.
Well, you know, as strong as those Dodgers teams were in those days, they're not going to have somebody there that doesn't have it.
No.
Maybe the Senators might have, but the Dodgers, any of the New York teams had to be a ball player to be there.
Yeah.
How long did you play after that? I know you were at Oklahoma City in 1956.
I think I went to Oklahoma City, and from there I decided I wasn't going to play anymore. And I was only 31 years old, actually, when I left baseball. And the way I stayed in shape, I know darn well I could have played up to 40, in the 40s even. I'm still in shape working out. But the thing is, I had decided my family was getting large, and I just thought I'd stay home and do some of the things that I hadn't done in summers, playing ball all the time.
It's hard to raise a family and be gone all summer.
After Oklahoma City, Toronto bought my contract. And I just got the urge to go, and I reported with Toronto. And that was another power playing ball club with a very rich man. Cook owned that ball club.
The Redskins fell, yeah. Right, yeah.
He owned a lot of stations, you know, TV stations and all that. And there they just bought players. They bought players that they needed. And again, they were always looking for left-handed hitting outfielders, and it was there. I quit from Toronto.
Well, how did you get? You're in St. Paul now, is that right?
Yep, I'm in St. Paul because this is where I came from Hollywood, and I met my wife here, and I love the Twin Cities.
I heard here it's a lovely. I've never been there, but I've been told it's a lovely area.
One of the nicest areas in the United States, as far as I'm concerned.
And
I really like it.
A good area to raise a family,
raise
I've been told.
Family and healthy area, and not much bad things go on. It's very nice.
I hope it stays that way.
Yeah, I hope so.
Well, you hit a home run for Brooklyn.
Home run, a double, and a triple.
Yep. Do you remember any of those?
I remember. Yeah, there were so few. I remember real well. The home run was in Cincinnati, and I got a couple of hits and drove in 3 runs that day. And Jackie Robinson, you know, congratulating me, a way to help the ball club, because they were in a pennant fight from the start that year that I was there in 53. We had a big, a tough season there going until near the end, and then we had it sewed up. But he congratulated me, and it was off a 20-game winner, Raffensperger.
Oh, yeah, good pitcher.
Yep, and the double was off Warren Spahn that hit the top of the rail a half an inch more. It's a home run in Ebbets Field.
That's a pretty good pitcher, too.
Yep, and the triple was off Harvey Haddocks, another 20-game winner.
Boy.
So the only time I got in the ball games as a right-handed hitter, it was facing the best lefty in the league.
Yeah, that's bad enough, but that makes it doubly hard.
Yeah, right.
Well, in your time, what you played professionally, what, about 10 years, 10 and a half years?
Yeah, 11 years I think I played.
Okay. Who was, and you came across players at all levels, who was the best one individual player you think you saw?
Well, now, is that both leagues?
Anywhere, at any level, anytime.
Well, to me it was between Willie Mays, and I've always been a great admirer of Joe DiMaggio.
Yeah.
His type of ball playing that he did, and with the grace and everything, you know, the story about him, that's all true. He was a picture to watch. Best hitter, probably Ted Williams. I played against him in exhibition games while I was with the Dodgers, same era.
Yeah.
That's always a very, very tough thing to pick out the very, very best.
Well, in the era in which you played, you've got to think about it because there were so many outstanding ball players. Today, you've got to think about it because it's so hard to pick one. The quality just seems to be so different.
It is. It is. I could, like, on the Dodger team, Jackie Robinson was just, he was something to see play ball.
I bet he was.
I picked him out not only as one of the most outstanding ball players all around that I ever played with, but a real man besides. He was a personable guy, and he'd do anything. I was a rookie all the time, you might say, and he was always a pretty friendly person.
Somebody I interviewed, and I'm thinking it may have been Alvin Dark, I don't remember now, said that if he had to start a baseball team, that would be the one man he'd want to start it.
He'd pick a good one.
Yeah.
He's out there to win, and he could do things that a lot of ball players couldn't do. He didn't have the stats like when they're always trying to pick out the best ball player. It's first ones that come to your mind are a Mays and Musil, Williams and DiMaggio.
Mm-hmm.
But a Jackie Robinson can win as many games for you, if not more sometime, as some of those ball players.
Yeah, but he could.
Because he could do everything.
Who was the best pitcher you came up against?
I like to think of a guy named Blackwell.
Yeah.
Blackwell was a very tough, he had that sidearm delivery. Now, I didn't actually play against Blackwell. I didn't bat against him. But I knew that type of pitch, pitcher would have been murder on me.
Now, again, Dark said that when they were scheduled to go into Cincinnati, or Cincinnati was going to come to town, that was the only team they'd look every day in the paper to see the pitching rotation, to see that if Blackwell was going to miss him or not.
Yep. See, that name sticks out in my mind because I've played against, like, copies of Blackwell a couple of times, and when they've got anything at all, that type of pitcher is tough.
Yes, yeah. And he was a little bit ornery, too, I hear.
Yeah, he'd push you back.
Well, we mentioned the home run in Cincinnati and the three RBIs. Is there one game, was that your best game, or is there another game that stands out, major or minor league, that stands out as maybe your best game or biggest thrill?
You know why I like to think of the one in Cincinnati where I hit the home run? When I got home from hitting that home run, for the first time I was a Dodger, I felt like I was a part of the team. You know, I really contributed. We're in the pennant race.
Uh-huh.
And I knew I could do all those things. I was a good outfielder and had a good arm, and I could hit with power. All I had to do was get out there and be able to show them. Now, the next day, I was benched.
Oh.
You see, I didn't get a chance to play 2, 3, 4, 5 ball games in a row. Happened to be a left-handed pitcher pitched. The next day, if there's going to be a right-hander in, you're going to have a hitter like George Shuba playing, or Jackie Robinson moving to the outfield, taking left field. I just didn't have the playing time. That is my only excuse for myself, that maybe possibly if I played 20 games in a row or 15 games in a row, it might have shown different.
It's something you don't know, but off the way you'd produced in the minors, you've got to think that something would have come in there.
I always was optimistic anyway.
Was there ever a chance that you knew of getting to another ball club?
Well, they kind of told me one time that they didn't. That when they wanted to sell me, my price was too high for an untrained rookie, I was told, you know, by the front office. And then I was told that there was a possibility Boston Red Sox and the Chicago Cubs and Detroit Tigers, there were three teams that were mentioned that I would probably be on one of those rosters. And I got pretty excited about it.
I bet
any
so.
One of the three great hitting ballparks.
Yes.
And I figured that I would have a chance to play, but it never materialized for some reason.
Well, the Dodgers, now this, you correct me if I'm wrong, but from what I remember and have read, they had so many ball players that they would put a price on them, and if the other team didn't want to meet it, that was fine. The Dodgers didn't mind.
Absolutely. They'd use them in the system because it kept the nucleus of their system always winning, and they wanted to project a winning atmosphere all the time.
That's something they're missing today, the minor leagues, I think. But back then, it sure did pay off at the major league level when they could win all the way up.
Yeah, you bet.
Well, what about, you didn't get probably the chance that you could have gotten, and it's awfully hard for anybody to have gotten a chance with an outfield like the Dodgers had. But other than that, is there anything that you regret from your career?
Well, there is one little regret that I had. My first year in the major leagues, we win a pennant. There's players that play all their life, and they never get in the World Series.
That's right.
I found myself in a World Series with the New York Yankees right next to me, a kid's dream. What could you ask for if you were making the Hollywood script? And I used to daydream about hitting the final home run in the World Series and winning it for the Dodgers and being the hero. You know how you do those things?
Yes.
When you're playing ball? But the truth of the matter is, I never got in the series. The manager that got fired,
Dressen,
Charlie Dressen, told me to grab a bat. I was going to pinch hit for Jim Hughes in Yankee Stadium. And I got up to the top step, and he changed his mind and let the pitcher hit.
Now,
he made a mistake. Not that he didn't let me hit, because Carl Farrello followed with a home run. We lost the game by one run. It warranted a pinch hitter at the time.
Mm-hmm.
It was one of those moves that Dressen made like that that went hard on him for the World Series. And Charlie was an exceptional manager and a great manager, but he had a lot of pressure on him during the series.
They came down awfully hard on him for losing that one.
They came down on him, right? and Walter O'Malley really liked Walt Alston.
Yeah, he was the fair-haired boy. He, if Dresden had won it, I guess he would have been back. But anything,
he was back, that's right.
Anything short of that, and he was gone, it seemed like.
And I thought there was a chance, you know, my World Series ring went, which would have been a great souvenir to have.
Oh, yeah.
But I want to just lay this with you, my personal case. I don't have any negative feelings like that about baseball. I don't feel sorry for myself. I consider myself one of the luckiest guys you can ever imagine to be a young, skinny little runt growing up in Brooklyn and to have them as a dream team for me and to have made that ball club and actually played there. It was beyond my expectations.
That's a great attitude to have. It's a lot of fellas do carry a little, I don't know if bitterness is the right word, but excuse me, a little, I don't know what the word is, but it may be bitterness over a situation such as yours. It's not an uncommon situation.
Yeah.
I don't like to hear that. I like to hear what you said. That's a good attitude and one that should be.
It was great. It was just like when they optioned me out of the league back into the, I got calls from everybody wanting to know if I was going to the commissioner of baseball over it. How? What did they do? Did they make a deal to option you through the league? To this day, I don't know how I got optioned through the league, but I did.
Mm-hmm.
And it didn't make me to a point where I was going to fight anybody over it. If they didn't feel I was good enough to play there at the time and they were going to make a change, they had a right to make the change, and I didn't feel bitter.
I remember.
One thing they can't take away is that in my own dreams, I have my own dreams and all, they talk about the boys of summer. I was a boy of summer.
You sure were.
That's it. In my mind, they can't take it away.
Remember when I was a kid, I was, I was 12 years old in 53, and they were always talking about the Dodgers' prospects, and I'm talking about before that, and even after that. Your name was always one that was mentioned that was right around the corner.
You know, they did a five-day New York Journal feature on me. Jackie Robinson came to spring training late, and he told me, did you know what is going on in the New York Journal right now? I didn't even know the feature was on. And there they were. They worked with me in spring training, but I thought, you know, it's something that they put off, and then when they're going to use it, maybe. And they did a real, real thing on me, and God, I had all my friends and everybody, they were just thrilled over it.
Oh, local boys, big news.
And I was too.
Well, I asked you about, or mentioned autograph requests. Do you get many autograph requests today?
Yeah, there's a lot of them that come, and I want to tell you about that too. I don't charge them for my autograph.
Anybody. Good for you.
Some of them will send a $5 bill to me along with it. I'm getting quite a few of them. It hasn't stopped, you know, since they redid our card, our 1953 card.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm getting 15, 20 requests a month here now.
Huh.
And I don't charge. The only time is when these professional people call and, like, they want 80 photos signed or something like that, and then they tell me, well, they're going to give me $3 a signing or something like that. I don't dicker, I don't do anything. Whatever they're going to send me, I let them send me. Anybody that sends for a request here to me for an autograph, whether it's the card or pictures, or they ask me if I'll sign baseballs for them, I tell them I'm not charging anything.
That's great. That's great. I don't like the idea of charging for autographs. Maybe I don't fully understand the situation, but I don't care for it.
Well, there's a lot of young kids, you know, that they don't have to be paying for it. And I can realize the other part of it, the stars and all, they just do whatever they can get. And some of the plays make more of a business. I haven't followed the card shows. And going back to that Brooklyn reunion was a beautiful, beautiful thing for me.
Yeah, but that was a lot of fun.
Came back with some souvenirs and saw people like George Shubin. And I felt great.
Well, he thinks you were a heck of a guy.
Yeah.
He really did. He said, be sure and call him because he would talk to you. He's just a fine fellow.
Well, that's nice of George. I'll have to give him a call.
be sure you've got the time.
Yeah, right.
One more question, I guess. Would you go back and do this all again, Bill?
Oh, you bet. I would go and do every bit of it again.
Wonderful.
Every bit of it.
That is really good.
And you know something? To say that I would have done it different won't be true, because if I had the same Bill Antonello head, I would still do it the way I did it. The mistakes I made, I'd probably make all over again.
Well, that's probably part of the fun.
Of playing, it's part of life, and it was great. I think
The
athletes today are every bit as good as the athletes of the past. It's just that it's a different kind of a ball game, and they aggravate people a lot more because everything is put in the newspapers, and a lot of it shouldn't be put in the papers, I don't think.
The same things had to be going on when you were playing.
It was.
But, you know, who cares?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, I don't care who the guy's sleeping with. I don't care if he comes to the ballpark with a hangover. It doesn't, you know, as long as he goes out there and he plays the game. That's what the fans should be concerned about.
That's the way I feel about it. You can tell when a ball player's out there giving you 100%.
Yeah.
And that's why my conscience, I can't tell you about my great feats, but I can tell you this. Anybody that ever played with me will always tell you it was 100% all the way.
Well, that's all anybody can do.
Along the way in the minors right up to the majors, it's the only way that I knew how to play. And when I did something, it was because I did something wasn't good. It was because my ability was at that level.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's all anybody can ask is you do the best you can. And from what I remember as a kid, there was never a rap on you in any way, shape, or form.
I feel myself very fortunate. It was beautiful. And I was treated great, too. Back then, you know, here's one little story, too, that might help. You want to hear this?
Sure, by all means.
When they came to sign me, Branch Rickey passed on me in Ebbets Field. Now, my dad was a janitor of an apartment house, worked very, very hard. And he couldn't get away, and I was supposed to... my dad had to sign for me because I still was only 19 years old. Had to sign the contract. So I was supposed to go to, remember, 315 Montague Street where the Dodgers office
was? Uh-huh.
Supposed to meet Branch Rickey down there and sign the contract. Couldn't make it. Phone, the doorbell rings at 1 o'clock in the morning. And here is the scout. They send the scout over with the contract for me to sign the contract. And I did. I signed the contract. And that was it.
That is a good story.
So,
it's something you'll hear today.
And the one about the glove, buying the glove, that got me my start in baseball. It wasn't any scouting me out. It was a chance meeting with the scout.
Yeah. Well, that's good. This is what the people like to read. They like to see these sort of things. And like I said, you will get an increase. I don't know how much an increase, but you will certainly pick up on your autograph request for a period of a few weeks.
Yeah, that makes me feel good.
Good. Good, it should. Guys who resent that have a problem, I think.
I think so.
Bill, thank you very much. I really appreciate your time, and it's been an excellent interview. A lot of the guys, I ask them questions, and the answers are yes, no, or don't remember, and it makes it just awful hard to write something.
Well, I'm glad.
I appreciate this. I will have a copy of this to you in... I would say a week or 10 days by the time I get it organized and rearranged and typed up. And I won't submit it to the magazine until I hear back from you.
Okay, that is very, very good. And any time at all that I can do anything as far as what you think can be a help, you just call and I'd be glad to do it.
Oh, thank you, Bill. I really appreciate that. One further question. When it is published, would you like a copy of the magazine?
Oh, I'd love it.
Okay, would you like more than one?
Well... I've got a big family, but I know you're not going to send a ton of them, but if you could send something like four or five of them, I'd really appreciate it.
Sure. Well, now, Larry Jansen had 12 kids, and he wanted one for each kid.
Well, I've got 7 children.
Okay. Well, we'll send you, how about 8 or 10?
That would be great.
Okay. We'll sure do it. It'll probably be sometime over the winter. I don't know. Their schedule is kind of hit or miss, but it's usually about 6 months from the time I submit it, so we're talking about probably getting it in there by the middle of middle or end of this month, so we're talking about January, I imagine.
That'd be something to look forward to.
Okay, Bill, thank you very much. I'll have this out to you here in the next few days.
You're welcome, and thank you.
Yes, sir. Good night.
Bye.
Monday, 8:23 p.m.